Well, we've made it through a week. We're on week one, day five. Welcome to this day. It's been a lot of stuff. I know I'm giving you a lot of stuff, and guess what? There's more stuff to come. I want to increase your faith. I want you to have practical tools so that you can hear the voice of God. We've learned this week that there are three principles to hearing the voice of God. Can you remember what those three principles are right now? I hope that you're memorizing those three principles. Every study guide has the three principles on them, and through the entire series, you're going to start by reviewing those three principles, because I believe that'll increase your faith that God wants to speak to you. What are the three principles? Can you remember the scriptures that go along with those three principles? The three principles are these. Number one, God is my Father, 1 John 3:1. My Father has a plan for my life, Jeremiah 29:11. And my Father wants to make known the plan for my life, Isaiah 31:21. We've also come to see in this last week, we know that we will be judged as to if we have done the will of God. That's how we'll be judged. And remember I said, what type of God would God be if he had a will but didn't make his will known to us? And if you don't do his will, well then, burn, baby, burn. He would not be a loving and kind father. He'd be a distant father, like Allah or something like that. No, our Father is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is merciful, he is kind, and he is close to the brokenhearted. So God, we will be judged by if we have done the will of God or not. Now, does God want to make his will known? You better believe he wants to make his will known. He loves you. He loves you and wants to make his will known. And to make sure that you can know his will, we also learn that the Father has given us what we need to know his will. First of all, he's given us the Holy Spirit to come alongside and to help us. And as the Spirit comes to us, the Spirit gives us three gifts: counsel, wisdom, and fortitude. Counsel, wisdom, and fortitude. What is the gift of counsel? If I walked up to you right now and I said, please explain to me the gift of counsel. What is that gift? Can you remember? Look at the word counsel. If somebody's to counsel you, they're to tell you something. So the gift of counsel is the gift whereby we know the will of God. You don't have to doubt. Will I hear the voice of God? Yes, you will. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to you. He comes alongside you to counsel you as to the Father's will. And then wisdom. What is the gift of wisdom? Can you explain the gift of wisdom, please? Wisdom is the gift whereby we know how to do the will of God. Counsel, the gift to know the will. Wisdom, how to do the will. And then lastly, there's the gift of fortitude, which is the strength to accomplish the will of God. And yesterday, we explored a tool to hear the voice of God. Did you do the study guide that goes along with it? I hope you did, because there's a practical tool there. There's some scriptures that you were to sit down and take a look at and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through using the tool of Lectio Divina. I hope you used that tool yesterday. I hope that you did the study guide. And we said that this Lectio Divina, this is a gift that has been given to the church that makes saints. So we want to make sure to understand Lectio Divina. And I'm going to spend today's one more day on Lectio Divina. We need to understand Lectio Divina. Today's memory verse is John 8:31. Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. John 8:31. The Jerusalem translation of the Bible takes this phrase here, if you continue in my word, and this is how they translate it. If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. If you make my word your home, another translation says, if you abide in my word. A trait of a disciple of Jesus is to continue to make one's home, to abide in the Word of God. A disciple of Jesus is somebody who spends time meditating on the Word of God. Is the Word your home? You know, let's take a look at the concept of a home. What is a home? A home is a place where we're familiar. Just look at that word familiar. Have you ever looked at the word familiar? It looks like the word family, doesn't it? The word familiar looks like the word family. We should be familiar with the Word of God. It should be family to us. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. How do you know if you're a disciple of Jesus? What is a quality of a disciple of Jesus? A quality of a disciple of Jesus is being at home with his word, familiar with his word. What is a home? It's a place where you feel safe. As you grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, your time meditating on the Word of God, chewing on the Word of God, as you grow in that, life is going to become more safe for you. You're not going to feel threatened. When difficult times come, you can be at peace. When everybody else is falling apart, you can know the truth. And Jesus goes on to say in John 8:32, you will know the truth. If you make my word your home, you will truly be my disciples. Now here's verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we have the word of God in us, the more our faith is going to grow, the more we're going to feel safe and reliable, and you're going to be relaxed too. You're not going to have to panic. Do you know what the opposite of faith is? What's the opposite of faith? Have you ever wondered that? You see, faith is of God. Whatever is opposite of faith is not of God. It must be of the enemy, isn't it? So if you know what the opposite of faith is, if you're doing that, then you can also conclude that you're playing into the ballpark of the enemy. Does this make sense? What is the opposite of faith? Fear. Fear. When you're at home, you're not fearful, are you? Because you know when you're at home, you're in a familiar place, you're safe, you're relaxed. You're relaxed. The opposite of faith is fear. And the more we're in the Word of God, the less fear there will be in our life. When you look at a home too, what is a home? It's a place you're invested in. I mean, when you own a home, I own a home. Oh boy. When you own a home, you're invested in it. You're working. You know you got that mortgage that you're paying every month. And because you pay that mortgage every month, you care about that place. You're invested in it. You've spent your time to earn money to pay for the place. And I'm constantly walking around my home, and I'm constantly taking care of my house. Why? Because I'm spending a lot of money on it, and I'm invested in it. Are you invested in the Word of God? When it comes to God's Word, the Bible, are you familiar with the Word? Do you know your way around the Word of God? You know, I use the example a lot of times when I talk about making the Word of your home. I grew up in my parents' house. And so, you know, when you grow up in a place, you're familiar with it. You can wake up in the middle of the night, and I don't mean to become too specific with you here. But, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I could wake up in the middle of the night and I'd have to go to the bathroom. That's that specific part, okay? Sorry to get too specific. But, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you need to go to the bathroom. And when you're familiar with a place, you barely need to open your eyes, don't you? You know, I knew as a kid that when I woke up, if I roll out of my bed to the left, I walk ahead probably around 6 steps, make a left, go about 3-4 steps, and make a right, I'm into the bathroom. I was familiar with that place. In the midst of darkness, I knew my way around. That's how you know you're really familiar with something. When darkness comes, can you find your way around? See, many of us, when darkness comes in our life, where do we need to turn? To the Word of God. But because we don't know our way around the Word, we're in the midst of that darkness of life, and we start stumbling. Now, I also remember growing up, getting married, one night waking up, rolling out of the bed to the left, and I walked straight into a wall. Why? Because we were renting an apartment. It wasn't my home yet. I lived there, but I wasn't familiar with it. Walked right into that wall, stubbed my toe, and I hate to admit this to you, use some words I shouldn't have used, okay? I wasn't familiar with it, and that's many of us in life. Many of us in life, because we're not making our word, the word, our home, we're not familiar with it. The darkness of life comes, and what do? We stub our toes. We start acting in fear rather than faith. Are you safe with the Bible? Are you relaxed with the Bible? Are you invested in the Bible like you would be invested in a home? It takes an investment of time to be in the Word of God. I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to just be honest with you. You know, there are those out there that teach, you know, if you want to start a prayer life, start with 2 minutes and then go up to 5 minutes. No, you won't get any place. Don't rip yourself off. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're relying on yourself, you won't be able to go for a half hour. That's what I'm telling you. You need to start with prayer, not with 2 minutes. Don't listen to that. That is not the truth. That is approaching the spiritual life through the flesh. And it's relying on your power. Remember, there's 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of those gifts is called fortitude. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit's power. And you need to be praying a half hour, devoting a half hour of where you're talking to God and God is talking to you. What's the tool you can use? Lectio Divina. Now, 4 components to Lectio Divina. Lectio, to read. Meditatio, to meditate. Oratio, to speak. Contemplatio, to contemplate. Lectio, you read the passage. I'm just reviewing here. You read the passage slowly and let something jump off the page. And once it does, you move into meditatio. You begin to meditating on it and saying, God, why is this speaking to me? Why is this leaping out to me? Who, what, where, when, and why? And then oratio. Once God shows you something, you start to talk to God about it. And contemplatio, once you've talked to God about it and you see what your need is or what God wants to do, then you contemplate. Contemplatio, you sit there and you let God do that within you. Lectio Divina, meditating on the Word of God. Lectio Divina is what the monks are doing in the monastery when they're up there monking around. You ever wondering what the monks are doing when they're monking around? They practice Lectio Divina 7 times a day. They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning for the office of readings. They meditate on the Word of God. 6 a.m. for morning prayer, meditate on the Word of God. 9 a.m. mid-morning prayer, meditate on the Word of God. 12 noon, midday prayer, meditate on the Word of God. 3 p.m., mid-afternoon prayer, meditate on the Word of God. 6 p.m., evening prayer, meditate on the Word of God. 9 p.m., before they go to bed, meditate on the Word of God. That is 7 times they stop for prayer. This time consists in praying the Psalms and reading of Scripture. Their day is interrupted like this so that they can receive a little piece of God's Word to chew on as they go on with their work. Their whole day is built around meditating on the Word of God. Imagine what your life would be like if you stopped 7 times a day to pray and receive a piece of the Word of God for you to chew on as you went back to your work. Imagine what your life would be like if you did that. I remember one summer when I was a teenager going up to my friend Andy Anderson's property, and he needed me to clear his property. He was going to build a cabin, and I only had 2 things, the Rule of St. Benedict, and I had what's called the Liturgy of the Hours. The Liturgy of the Hours is a book where these 7 times of prayer are combined into this book. So you can take this book and pray the Psalms and meditate on the Word. As you chew on the Word with Lectio Divina, it will train your ear to hear God speaking. You will know what He sounds like. And what's He sound like? His Word. You will also know that anything that, you'll also know when there's something that doesn't sound like His Word. And you'll know it's either the enemy or you'll know it's your own soul. Also, if you practice Lectio Divina, you'll get to know the Bible inside and out. You know, a lot of people come to me and they say, Brendan, are you a convert from Protestantism? And I take that as a compliment, by the way, because I know the Word so much. That's our book. The Bible's our book. So we need to start getting into the Bible. We need to start meditating on it. We need Lectio Divina so that we can chew on the Word of God, so God can speak to us in His Word. And then we can turn around and speak to Him.